After the benign inflation report last week, the Reserve Bank is almost certain to cut the cash rate tomorrow by at least 25 basis points. But how much relief will that actually give to mortgage holders? That all depends on whether the big banks play ball and pass on that rate cut in full. Our business editor Cheryl Bagwell joins you with a preview of the week ahead in business and finance. Cheryl, hello again.
Hi, Fran.
Cheryl, the Reserve Bank likes to prove economists wrong. Is there any chance that the bank won't cut rates tomorrow?
Well, look, not according to market pricing, Fran. It's rated in the markets as a 100% roll gold certainty. I think not since the GFC, I think, has there been so much certainty around an RBA decision. I think the only thing the RBA board members will likely be debating tomorrow is how deeply they should cut. Should they go for broke and slash by 50 basis points, which would take the cash rate to 3.75%, or should they opt for a more modest 25 basis point reduction? Now, there's no shortage of people in the community out there who say that the economy needs the stimulus that a 50 basis point cut would deliver. The economy is growing below trend. Consumer demand remains weak. And of course, we now know that inflation is no longer a problem. My feeling is, though, that the RBA will opt for a 25 basis point cut tomorrow, but keep alive the prospect of further rate cuts in the following months. I think the RBA won't want to send a message that it's in panic mode about the economy, because it isn't. It's also, you know, remember, just 1 week out from the federal budget. The Treasury Secretary, Martin Parkinson, who knows what's in the budget, presumably, he sits on the RBA board as well. It's been put to me by economists that a 50 basis point cut might signal that the RBA knows that there's going to be savage cuts in the budget, even if it doesn't know. But for appearance's sake, it'll probably prefer to leave any obvious reaction to the budget until after it's handed down.
But the bank, you'd think, would also have the Reserve Bank would also have the behaviour of the big banks in mind, and wouldn't a 50 basis point cut tomorrow force a bigger response from the major banks, which have been reluctant to pass on the rate cuts at all or in full in the recent past?
Yeah, you're right. And that's the argument in favour also of a 50 basis point cut tomorrow.
To make sure the big banks do
something. To force it out of them. I mean, on past form, as we know, the big banks they're unlikely to pass on whatever happens tomorrow, to pass on that rate cut in full to their mortgage and business loan customers. If the RBA cuts by 25 basis points tomorrow, say, analysts think the banks may only pass on 10 to 15 basis points of that, which would basically bring variable mortgage rates back to where they were at the start of the year, which is not much of a stimulus. So under that scenario, I would see the RBA cutting again in June, maybe also in August, just to wring those reductions, further reductions from the banks. Now, if the RBA were to cut by 50 basis points, of course, then the cost of loans might fall by, say, 30 to 35 basis points, say analysts, and that would give borrowers, you know, an immediate jolt. Look, it's pretty clear, as I said, that the major banks intend to hold back at least some of the RBA cut for themselves. In recent days, they've been upping the rhetoric on their funding costs, you know, maintaining the line that the portion of money they raise overseas, that is the portion not influenced by the cash rate, by movements in the cash rate, is still more expensive than it was in the past. Higher deposit rates are also hitting their bottom line as they actively try to raise more money from us, from domestic savers, to meet tighter global banking regulations and, of course, be less dependent on overseas wholesale funding. Now, there's no denying all of this. All the major banks are seeing their profit margins on loans declining. But the cognitive dissonance here, the trouble for the major banks, is that their profits overall are not declining. Mm. They're rising.
Which is what the consumers are looking at.
Exactly. And this is going to be confirmed this week, Fran, and next, actually, when the three major banks, Commonwealth has already reported, but ANZ, Westpac and the NRB report their half-year profits this week and next. Analysts are tipping the big four will announce combined profits of $12.5 billion in the first half, up from $12 billion in the same period last year. So at the end of the day, as I said, it's hard to cry poor when you're not poor. You can put all the stats and graphs out there, but the public is just not buying it. And you can be pretty sure that any battled federal government won't be letting the banks off the hook either this week, particularly, well, next week, particularly if they don't pass on those rate cuts in full.
Oh, for sure. And Cheryl, you know, Australia is an island, but we live in a global economy, and the news out of Europe and the US has turned pretty gloomy again. Should that have an impact on the RBA's decision tomorrow?
Look, it'll have an impact on the margins, but probably won't tip the balance, as I say, in favour of a bigger cut. The economy, the US economy has slowed from a 3% growth rate late last year to 2.2% in the first 3 months of this year. That's disappointing, but not dire. The consumer spending component in the US at least has held up. And of course, at least the US economy is growing, which is something that can't be said for many countries in Europe right now. Last week, we got news, of course, that the UK has slipped back into recession. Over in Spain, the unemployment level has risen to 24% of the workforce. That's the highest level in 20 years for Spain. And all of this has again fueled debate about whether government austerity measures imposed to cut deficits are now destroying economies. The Dutch government fell last week. It turned out to be only temporary when it couldn't get its austerity package through the parliament. The ratings agency Standard & Poor's has cut Spain's credit rating two notches on concerns it's going to struggle to pay back its debts as the economy slows. So the euro debt crisis appears to be marching ever closer to the core economies of Spain and Italy and maybe even France. But for the moment, that doesn't seem to be worrying bondholders. Yields actually fell in those countries last week, signalling that investors still believe the firewall being built by the ECB, the EU, et cetera, will hold in the end, but we'll have to see.
Is sufficient. So what does all this mean for our share market today, Cheryl?
Well, surprisingly, the futures market is actually pointing to a fairly strong opening start for our market this morning, despite all this gloom that I've been talking about. The SPY 200 contract is up 28 points or 0.6%. Now, that's because Wall Street rose on Friday, despite that weaker than expected GDP number. Basically, investors were heartened by some positive earnings reports out on Friday from the likes of Amazon and Expedia, and they still think that the US Federal Reserve will step in and stimulate the economy if things get really bad. Good corporate earnings also buoyed European markets on Friday too. Even the Madrid exchange was up. The weaker US growth figures, though, has put a dampener on the US dollar, and that's why our dollar is up this morning, Fran. It's back above 104 US cents to 104.5 US cents, and that's why most commodity prices like gold and copper are also rallying again.
Okay, Cheryl, thanks very much. Cheryl Bagwell, our business editor.